Smooches. On this episode, we're recapping I'm Engaged to Mothman, the second book in Paige Lavoie's Mothman in Love series. We previously recapped the first book with our friend and Mothman groupie Molly, so go listen to that episode if you haven't already. Some future episode announcements. Sometime in April, we're going to recap Just Another Epic Love Poem by Parisa Akbari. That book is out today when this episode drops, so you can go get it right now. And over on Fable, where you can join our book club, we're going to read Never Cross a Highlander by Lisa Raine, so you can read along with us ahead of that recap. And self-promo to any authors listening that I, Liz, am offering copy editing and tarot-based brainstorming services. You can find out more at ldsromance.com. Now, on to Mothman shenanigans. Spoilers ahead!
Hi, Meg.
Hey, Liz. How are you?
I'm good. So the book we're going to talk about, I loved it so much and read it so fast and read it like right when it came out, which means I don't remember anything about it.
When did it come out? At the end of 2023?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. I just read it this week. Mm-hmm. And I made the mistake of reading another book between then and now. So it's like my brain only has a small capacity for like working memory. I was happy to go back to the world of Mothman in Love. I love Heather, which is in my mind just our Molly. Friend Molly.
Yeah, it's just Molly.
Yeah, it's just Molly. We pick up in this book pretty much like a little bit before the last book ends. Like we see them walking through the woods. We learn a little bit about how they've been spending their time for the last year since the events of the last book, which is just like hanging out with their townie friends who are aware of moths, mm-hmm. mothness.
Yes. And Heather's newfound mothness.
They spend a lot of time just like walking through the woods and like flying, and she's like getting the hang of her mothness. And they're about to have their friends over. She's got some gluten-free cinnamon rolls cooling in the window of her kitchen. And they go for a little walk. And she's like, wait, what's that? And she sees a shiny part of a tree that's like glowing gold and like light is coming out of it. And she's like, what? And he's like, oh, what? And this paper, this like parchment flies out. And he's looking at it and it's like, we've been summoned. And so then they just like clutch onto each other and they're vortexed through into another realm.
You know what this made me think of?
What?
This made me think of, in particular, Once Upon a Time would do this a lot, but I think other shows where mm-hmm. one season ends on a cliffhanger and mm-hmm. then the next season picks up right where it left off, except clearly was either reshoots or they just filmed a new scene and people's hair is just like slightly
different
and like you can tell like someone like just had a little work done over the summer, so you know what I mean,
they got that first season paycheck and
yeah,
got a little lift.
Yeah, something just looks like slightly different.
Yeah,
no, it felt that like way. Yeah, it felt like I didn't compare the two, but I don't think it was verbatim what had happened. I think maybe like the camera shifted perspective, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't spend a ton of time in the cabin that we have grown to love. Mm-hmm. In book one. Mm-hmm. In book one, we spend a lot of time with Moth being like confused, like learning new things. He's definitely like in the not like sub position, but like, you know, he's a little on the outs in the, yeah. in the first one.
They're and kind of on the same level as far as power over their world, even though yeah. he's more physically powerful.
Right. So in this book, we go to Moth's home realm, mm-hmm. which is the Fae realm, which
it's a fairy fucking romance, everybody.
I don't know why in my brain he was an alien.
Extra dimensional of some sort.
Yeah, I was just like fully opened this book expecting it to be an alien book. So yeah, we're in the Fae realm and we find the dynamic kind of flipped a little bit, whereas Heather could like easily navigate their home world, and you know, help Moth make it through. That the dynamic is totally flipped. Everyone around is a version of Moth. And Heather is, she's passing because she's got her wings and her antenna, but people kind of know something's not quite right with her.
Yeah, she's not really from around here.
Yeah, you're not from around these parts, are you? So it's sort of a it's like a castle-y, not exactly like medieval, but like there's not electricity. I don't know how to describe it, but and it is magical, obviously. It's just not like there's not a contemporary vibe to it, like
I would say Regency.
Regency. Okay. Yep.
I would say
Yeah.
we're looking at Regency era
Yeah.
vibes, but I did like that despite Heather being out of her element in this castle, she connected it to like being an influencer and that sort of thing because there are fucking mean girls everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's a fucking op. Event planning, she's good at that, so she takes on that
Yeah,
role.
I like the it's not like a joke that she has no skills, you know, because she's like an influencer and a girl's girl. She is readily able to leverage her experience in every realm, apparently. So we have all these guards. They're like, what's happening? Moth is clearly freaked out, but not as freaked out as Heather. They get escorted by these guards to a throne room where they see the queen. And Moth is like, Mother? And she's like, oh shit, this is Moth's mom. Because he has no real memories of this place. Like, a few of them were coming back in the first book. He was realizing he wasn't from here. He said he was exiled for something. And he's like, hey mom, I'm ready to stand trial for my crimes. She's like, crimes? And then another young moth person, Faye, comes running in, and she's all cute, and she's Moth's little sister. And she's like, oh, this wasn't supposed to happen yet. I've been working in secret to try to find him for, you know, decades. I was gonna brief you all a little bit before this reunion happened, but whoops.
And she is Moth's sister. What's her name?
Holly.
Holly. Sweet little Holly is a ruthless, unscrupulous, stick in the mud, absolute cunt
You were like,
for most of the book.
which epithet am I going with? When we meet her, so she has blue hair and I think blue wings, and she's wearing this sort of like flowing white dress, but has this like metal breastplate over it, and she's got some kind of a weapon on her. I can't remember if it's like a sword or a dagger. And Heather internally is like, this is kind of a look. Like, I love it. But these warm feelings are not really immediately reciprocated by Holly. Holly's like, what the fuck are you? Who are you? What are you doing here? I was looking for my brother.
Yeah, this is a stray.
Yeah. This is a rando who tagged along. And we learn that there was some political subterfuge and with uncles who were questionable and the death of his father. And these things led to Moth's exile, unbeknownst to his family, really. So it wasn't because of some crime.
This was all yada yada to me in a way that I don't believe Paige Lavoie. I think that she's trying to trick us.
Yeah, that it feels incomplete in a way that I feel will be resolved in the third book.
Yes, I don't think it's just like a plot hole or she didn't develop it quick
Right.
all the way through. I think it's she's being sneaky.
Yeah, I definitely feel that his quote unquote evil uncle will resurface, who's gone missing in this book. will resurface in the third book.
I know I'm jumping ahead, but did you get pings going off about Heather's random ass uncle who just gets shoehorned into the end? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll
I
come
was
back
like,
to that.
am I forgetting him being a big part of the first book? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
So
Holly's
Mothma's
big
back.
goal is to help Moth reclaim the memories that his evil uncle wiped away. And help him remember that his big life goal was always to be king. And being king in the way that they've always had kings, as far as showing strength and being ready for war and being like your classic royalty. And that's really not who Moth is anymore.
Yeah, this is a man who wants nothing more than to read a classic novel in an armchair with a good cup of tea and a gluten-free scone. He's
And
gotten soft.
sometimes snack on a lace tablecloth, you know.
Yes.
So there's sort of this tension that's growing between Holly and Heather because they're seeing different versions of Moth. And Moth is tormented, really, by this experience because he's like getting some memories back, not all of which are pleasant. And he feels some pressure to like get to know his family again, but also is obviously obsessed with Heather. So there's tension there. They decide that they will give the Fey Realm a week of their time, and at the end of the week, Queen Plume, his mother, is gonna throw this ball in his honor, and then after that, they're gonna go home. And Holly's anti this. She's like, no, I've been looking for my brother for decades. You all are staying here. There's some drama a little bit with Heather and the Queen, but on the most for the most part, they're kind of buds working on planning this event together. And as they go through the week planning this event, Heather picks up friends, as she readily does. And again, people are kind of figuring out that she's not really from here. She's supposed to keep the whole I used to be a human thing, hush hush. But we're in the height of the social season, which is kind of like the Regency vibe, and we're getting guests coming into the Moth Court from these other courts, which are like the Bumble Court, which is like Bumblebee Fae, Dragonfly Court, Butterfly Court. And then I think there's other, well, there's definitely vampires.
I forgot about the vampires.
Who else am I missing?
I had forgotten about the vampires,
Yeah.
so, and the dragonflies. I just remembered the butterflies and the moths and the bees because the bees have stingers and they're
Yes.
very dangerous. So I feel like those are the ones that we've seen, but there are more.
Yeah. There's definitely mention of other kinds of creatures.
And we learn that back in his youth, Moth fucked all of them.
He sure did, including all of the friends that Heather has made
Yeah,
since she's
every
arrived.
the royal painter who is going to do Moth's
Yeah,
portrait,
fucked him.
he was betrothed to someone who is now has a family with a non-binary partner
Yeah,
and
so he
is very
fucked
happy with
her
them.
and her non-binary partner.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Also fucked the tailor, like the seamstress that they go to for Heather's gown.
Oh,
It's
yes.
like, is there someone in this realm in the Moth Court that he has not stuck his moth dick in?
No one. No one.
Don't think
If they're not a blood relative, fair game.
Okay, what else? What else are the things? I'm like jumping in my mind ahead to the ball, and I know that there were other things that happened.
So, yeah, the big contrivance is the ball that they're going to plan this ball for Moth's return, and Heather gets really close to Queen Plume by helping her do that and learns
Yeah.
more about the nuances of the court. We find out that like Queen Plume was lying about the whereabouts of the uncle who had assumed power when Moth's father died. We learn that she has access to portals more readily than Holly thinks the realm has access to portals, because she has a little like collection going, and she likes to hoard things from the human realm, very like aerial coded, and she was able to retrieve Heather's thyroid medication because Heather is still here with her thyroid condition and not able to process
Hashimoto's.
gluten. Hashimoto's, thank you. And she is in a royal fae court and everything looks delicious and she doesn't want to be rude, so like she indulges a bit and she's like,
And
"Oh,
she
I seem
also just like
okay."
overextends herself by trying to like make everything as perfect for Moth as she can.
Yes, while also burying her PTSD that she's experiencing from being kidnapped by an incel in the last book.
Oh, about Queen Plume, we also learned that she slowly killed her husband, the
Oh, I
king.
forgot that. Wait, how did she slowly kill him?
Heather meets her in the greenhouse and she's showing her around. And Heather's been kind of like picking up little tidbits about how Moth's dad, Death was his name, was maybe like not a very cool guy, like
Not chill.
abusive. Like tried to kill Moth's dog in front of him to try to prompt Moth's healing powers to jump out. Bad guy. And Queen Plume loved him, but she loved her kids more, is what the story is. So she's like talking about these herbs and flowers that she grows, and she's like, it's so interesting how different effects can come about from these when used in the right way. And Heather's like, what? And she's like, I used to love to make my husband tea by hand. And I did that for many years through his illness leading to his death. And then she like cuts the head off of a rose and it falls to the ground. And I was like, oh shit. And Heather's like, oh shit. And Heather's like, okay, I'm gonna go do some work for the ball. See ya. And she's of course not sure how much of any of her like drama, the things that she's finding out about his family, she should share with Moth, because she knows that he's already under strain, trying to like figure out who he is. And this is kind of an ongoing thing that we're encountering the longer that they're spending during this week in the Fae realm, is her and Moth are like clashing a little bit in a way that they hadn't before. And it's not because he's like super into his role as the Fae Prince. But it's just like they're both fish out of water, and Heather doesn't want to put any pressure on him, and so she's not expressing her needs either. So we reach a point right before the ball where Heather has like a really bad flare up from her chronic illness, and basically just like down for the count. She like cannot get out of bed. She cannot really even stay awake. She's got a horrible brain fog. And she's afraid that she's going to cause Moth to miss this ball that's in his honor. He's the beloved, long lost prince. And he's like, no, I'm here where I'm required. And this is just sort of like adding on to her insecurities from the past week, that like he feels indebted to her because she saved him, and that like this is really where he belongs, and that the home and the life that they have built together isn't like really what he's meant for. And Holly takes advantage of this moment to show Heather, pull her aside, and show her a scrap of writing from Moth. He's working on a poem, but the scrap reads like part of a breakup letter, saying like, how can I trade my golden crown for like a daisy chain crown? Which is like their thing when they would go to like the flower field. So Holly's like, if you really love him, you can see this is where he belongs. He will always want to go where you are. So you have to ditch him if you love him. And Heather's like, well, my brain's not working right. So this is all making sense to me. This is really sad. I'm gonna go to Queen Plume's secret portal and yeet myself back into the human realm. Which she does.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that her brain isn't working right, because her next thought is, you know what would make me feel better? Going to Florida.
You never felt that way as a former Floridian?
No, I every time that I've gone back to Florida, or specifically when I lived in Florida still, but I was in Orlando and I would drive back to West Palm Beach to see family. I was always happy to see my family, but the cost was going to West Palm Beach. Like when I crossed that state line, it was like just a blanket of resentment and sweat
And mosquito.
and mosquitoes and love bugs skeeting everywhere. Just it.
Yeah, that's how you know she was messed up.
Yeah, like driving into Florida, I feel a dark presentiment of death.
That's really what she was looking for. She wanted Moth's former name was Death, and that's really what she wanted.
Yeah, but she was like, you know, I want my mom.
Yeah.
So she decides she's going
Well,
to fly all the way to Florida, like
yeah.
fly on her
Because
wings.
she couldn't stand the thought of like being crammed into a car for hours and hours. But we're skipping over a part, which is where she yeets herself back to her forest in West Virginia or wherever it is. And who's sitting on her
Ohio.
porch?
Chris.
Yes, the
The
incel
incel.
that we previously mentioned who tried to kill her. He's
Because he
coming.
was, if you do not remember in the last book, he was a monster hunter, self-appointed monster hunter who was obsessed with the Mothman, and then realized that Heather knew him and decided to
And
kidnap her.
knew him in a biblical sense.
Yeah, and thought that she was under his moth spell, which honestly, fair.
I mean, she was stigmatized.
She was. So
So
he's
he's
there.
trying to apologize, but really just to assuage his own guilt, and she's not having it. And I love this. We get a little bit of bad Sandy version of Heather. She's like, get the fuck out. And she can feel her fingers growing into claws. And she has like a red sheen over her vision, which makes me feel like her eyes were turning like moth red. And Chris is like going to shit himself.
Yeah,
And
because he didn't know that she was turned into a moth creature.
yeah, he was like, oh, I was worried that I really like had killed you. And she's like, you did, motherfucker. Look at
Here is something that I thought of during the scene, because while I understand Chris's impulse
now.
to see her to make amends, I have had friends in Alcoholics Anonymous, and we've had conversations about making amends. And you make amends only when they would not cause further harm to someone. And when people in his life, when his sister are saying, leave it
Do not
alone,
do this. Yeah.
just showing up unannounced, that is
To the
doing
site
further
where you
harm.
kidnapped her.
Yes, with coffee, which she doesn't know what's in that coffee, right?
True.
If he really, really needed to do this, if he really felt like he could make amends without doing harm, a better way would have been to talk through, mediate through his sister until Heather was willing to meet with him, or a phone call, or a fucking email, or a text. But you don't show up on someone's doorstep after fucking kidnapping them.
No, and that's how we know that he's still,
Piece of shit.
yeah, still a piece of shit. But I really love that she scares him and gets angry. I feel like we don't see Heather angry very much. And part of that is because she's been really trying to press her feelings down and not deal with the trauma. And now that she's arrived back and he's sitting there, it's like, well, I have to deal with it now. So yeah, then she's like, I just need my mom. I'm going to fly to Florida. Her mom has gone to do some kind of content thing with a Tupperware company in Italy. And Heather's like, What? Her uncle's telling her this, and her uncle's like, I don't fucking know.
Just getting
And
swag bags full of Tupperware.
because her mom's gone, but her uncle is at her mom's house, and he's also awake in the kitchen at 2 a.m. when she arrives, having flown in under her own wings.
And he's like, what, an antiques or oddities dealer?
I think, yeah, and I believe he was like working on a clock or something.
Which, isn't that what Queen Plume
He's
collects?
into.
There's something
Yes.
fishy there.
I
You're not
agree.
Slick Page.
But they apparently have like a really close, supportive relationship that was sort of not, I was not aware of beforehand. And he's like hearing about her breakup. She's telling him in so many yada yada terms, to not revealing that it's Mothman, of course. And her uncle's like, well, it kind of seems like he, really loves you. And like maybe you shouldn't have jumped to conclusions and like left. Like maybe you should have talked to him before you listened to his bitch sister. And she's like, I can't think about this right now. He's like, okay, well, do you want to come with me like to the show? I have a booth. It'll distract you. And she's like, sure. And the booth is at a festival in West Virginia, and it's the Mothman Festival. And Heather's like, I'm in hell. She's really regretting her choice to yeet herself back to the human realm. Really misses him. Doesn't know how she could get in touch with him, though. And is still, worried that he really did want to break up with her. So she's walking around. She gets like a little Mothman, like a keychain or some kind of like a Mothman knickknack, because it was just like really cute. And there's all these,
It's like a little chibi Mothman.
there's like all these t-shirts that are like, Mothman is my boyfriend or whatever. And she's like, I definitely would have bought one of those like a week ago. But now I'm destroyed and very sad. And she's looking at the Mothman statue, which, if you've never seen it, you should look it up. And
Molly
she's like,
described it in our last episode about this series.
yes. And it has a very pronounced gluteal region.
Double
And
cheeked up for no reason. What are you doing out here with all this ass?
yeah, but Heather looks at it and looks at the ass and is like, you know what? The real one is even more spectacular. And suddenly, like a little shadow kind of like goes over the sun, and she like looks up, and it's fucking Moth in his monster form, like descending. He was like, "Where the
You
And
just left without saying goodbye.
yeah, he's like
Doesn't care
fully.
how many people are out.
Yeah, fully chewing her out. And he's like in a real fucking panic. And she's like, Mothman, we need to maybe take this somewhere private. But because they're at the Mothman Festival, everyone's like, wow, they must have spent shitloads of money on this costume. Fucking righteous. So
They
he
went all
stops
out this year.
to take some pictures with some fans. And she's also like, let her wings out. Because everybody's like in moth costumes and she feels more comfortable that way. So anyway, they go off into the woods to have it out. He's like, that was an unfinished poem for you. I really just want to return to our life. I know that it's asking you to like give up the possibility of like living in a castle, but like that's what I want. That's who I am now. And she's like, yay, me too.
Yeah, the rest of it said, how could I give up a crown for a daisy chain easily?
Right. And they talk about wanting to have kids eventually. And he says that he had never really thought that that would be possible for him before, not like physically, but because what human is going to see him and be like, that monster would make a great father. And
Many.
And she
many.
goes, Moth, everyone here at this festival wants to fuck you. He's like, yeah, but would they love me? And like, would they nurse me back to health and, make special sugary teas for me? And she's like, maybe. He, I think, goes into his human form, and they go back to her uncle to say, like, hey, we're reunited. We're gonna go home now. And her uncle's like, okay, see ya.
At what point does he propose in this whole thing? I think before they go back to the uncle.
But in the human realm?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the at the end of the book, they're back at the cabin and Queen Plume and Holly show up and the ball
Yes.
is still going on because fae parties go on for days and days and days, and they're like, what are you doing? You're missing the conga line.
Yeah. And Holly's all like, wasn't this ball to announce that he's going to become king? And their mom's like, no, this is to welcome back my long lost son. This wasn't like a political situation, Holly. I just want my family to be together. So then they portal back to the ball. I don't remember where we left off at the very end.
I don't either, and I don't have the book in front of me. I just know that the next book is called I'm Getting Married to Mothman, not I'm Having Mothman's Baby, and it's supposed to be the last one. And she didn't take my suggestion from last episode
Which
of
was
doing a
what?
Christmas Prince style trilogy
Oh, yeah.
of doing the meeting, the wedding, and then the baby is the third installment. But it's fine. I respect Paige LaVoie's creative vision, and she can present her art however she wants to.
That is true. Okay, so at the very, very end, they portal back, see their friends. The friends are congratulating them on their engagement. And Heather is saying, I've kind of been like dreaming of my wedding since I was a small child. So this is not going to be an elopement. Like, this is going to be a thing, like a capital T thing. And he's like, okay, cool, let's do
Yeah.
this. And then they just like dance away.
She's like, there's a binder, there are Pinterest boards,
Right.
so
There are
many that they're
swatches.
alphabetized for like different like aspects of the ceremony and reception.
And that's where we end.
Yeah, so it's gonna be one hell of a wedding.
For sure. And I feel like we're gonna get more uncle action.
Yeah, there's something
Do
there.
we know anything about Heather's dad?
No.
Okay, I think we discussed this after book one.
That you think that he might be some kind of supernatural
I don't
creature.
know. Oh, also there was a thing where she like had a little She had like a little connection with King Magnus, who is the king of the vampire court. She like rescued him from the mean girls that were boring him. And he was like, I know we've just met. May I ask for your hand? And she was like, you want a hand? Like a favor? And she's like, oh, sure. Okay. And he's like, okay, cool. When the time is right. And he like disappears off.
Okay,
So
yeah.
that's definitely gonna come back.
So, do you think that in the third book, it's going to be like, will they even make it to the altar because there's going to be conflict? Or will it be more of a political intrigue, like not a conflict in their relationship, but an external conflict?
Yeah. I feel like it sort of has to be an external conflict. Because we've already had like the reversal of their roles, and they figured that out after figuring out their relationship in the first place. So I don't know that there's like a bunch left to hash out in their relationship.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree that it should be something external because there's a lot of threads there that the story could pull. And also because I don't like in long-term relationships when it's just like conflict after conflict after conflict, because there were like however many seasons of Sex and the City with that, where Carrie and Big had
No, that's
issues
right.
and then they resolve it. And then in the movie, after resolving all those issues and getting to a good place, they break up at the wedding.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, like she kisses Aiden,
Yeah.
and but they don't split up. They resolve that
Correct.
pretty quickly. But still, that's too many. At that point, you just gotta kill them on a fucking Peloton. You
Which they
can't
do.
have more relationship drama. It's
To
gotta be something
be
else.
technical, the Peloton doesn't really kill him. Carrie
No.
does.
How so?
Oh, he's having like a cardiac event and he's like in the shower. He's like
Oh.
halfway in the shower and he's like fully conscious.
Oh, and
And
she's like
she.
crying, screaming instead of calling an ambulance.
Yeah. And I read an article that had like all these cardiologists weigh in. They're like, she fully could have saved his life by just calling the ambulance then instead of half dragging him into the water and weeping over his still living body.
Crazy.
So, do you have any other thoughts on I'm Engaged to Mothman before we do our activity?
I loved the secondary characters,
Mm-hmm.
and I like that they had full lives and interests outside of the fact that they are like royal subjects and also that they used to fuck Moth. But
Yeah.
I would really enjoy seeing more of them, especially the painter. And that was an interesting subplot we didn't touch on, which was that Holly was very condescending about first not understanding phones and photography, but was very condescending about Heather's art,
Artistic direction.
how she was taking photos once a day. And she looked at photos of Moth, and Heather thought, okay, we're going to connect here. She's going to see, she wants to see what his life was like, and she wants to see what his life was like with me. And instead, Holly's just kind of like, your place is really small. Are you like super poor? He looks cramped. He's like
Yeah.
7 feet tall. How high is that ceiling?
Yeah. And Heather is like, damn.
Yeah.
But like, it is a little tight for him. Does he
Yeah.
not like that?
Yeah, like you kind of gagged me a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, but I like these ideas of like what kind of ruler would Moth be if he did stay, because the portrait that Holly commissions, they want to do the same like powerful, unsmiling, very serious, very formal thing,
Yeah,
and
like in full armor
yeah,
situation.
as opposed to like the softness and compassion that are more natural to him.
Right. There
How
are
about
some
you?
questions at the end of the book club questions. Do you think Moth has any secret desires to be king?
I think that Moth still doesn't remember enough. And I think that if he does remember, there will be secret desires. But I think that those are a version of him that no longer exists.
Right. He makes a comment that was like, from what I'm remembering, I don't know that I especially wanted this role for myself, but it was like, this is the path before me and this is what I can do with it. Do you think Moth will ever show Heather the book he's writing?
Yes, I
It's a
think so.
romance.
How would he do it? So I imagine that he's writing it in a leather-bound book with a fountain pen,
Of course.
maybe as a wedding present.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. What kind of favor do you think King Magnus was asking Heather for at the ball? I assumed it was like a romantic thing.
So he asks for her hand, right?
Yeah.
That sounds like a proposal.
Yes, it does.
So I think she may accidentally be engaged to the Vampire King.
Yeah.
Like
I think she
she
might be double engaged.
I think she's double engaged and doesn't realize it, and that's going to be a problem.
And then this will segue nicely into our activity, which is which of the winged courts would you want to be part of? And so what I was wanting to do was like build your own monster form. So of the winged courts that we talked about, which was Moth, Butterfly, Bumble, and Dragonfly. What wings would you like to have?
None of the above.
Why?
Because I want to be a bird.
Oh. Okay. They are sort of bird-like, like they have feathers.
They have beaks. Moth has a
Yes.
beak. So I would say, if anything, I would technically be part of the vampire court because my bird form has energy manipulation
Ooh.
properties.
Yeah, because moth has healing powers, but not everybody has those. And Queen Plume, I don't think like uses her powers. Holly, I'm not sure what her powers. She's kind of gifted with magic, but she's good with combat. So you're doing energy manipulation? So what does that mean?
So my form, I would be a humanoid mourning dove.
Ooh.
So I would have dove wings and I would be able to influence people's emotions and increase their vulnerability to get out their secrets, to get
Yeah,
them to
truth
tell the truth.
serum.
So my bird song would bring out people's vulnerabilities and therefore cause them to spill the beans.
What are you interrogating people about?
Oh, just like this and that, probably like just finding out information for the vampire court, maybe also just like easing tensions, stirring tensions.
I dig it.
And maybe just like there would also be a benevolent aspect to my powers, which
Like
would
you
just
could
be like
soothe
getting
people.
people, yeah, soothe people and get them to be honest with themselves.
Kind of like Mantis in
Yes.
the universe that we're not talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I dig it.
How about you?
Well, I hadn't thought of going outside of the courts that we had discussed in the book, but now that you've opened up that possibility, I think it'd be pretty cool to be in a spider court.
Ooh, I feel like that's closer to what is canon to the book because they seem to be kind of
Yeah,
insect-y.
insect inspired.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of spiders. So it would be cool to be that which I fear. It would be awesome. And I think you would have a really cool like look as far as like, like cobwebby silks and like maybe like sparkly like dewdrops on the silk. That would be pretty tight.
Yeah, that would be.
So I feel like my skills would have to involve something with the silk. Be real cool if I could like, how some spiders will like fashion a parachute for themselves out of their silk. Like I could basically just kind of go gadget my silk into any sort of tool that I needed. That'd
Yes,
be
I like
pretty
that.
cool. I'm thinking that my color scheme situation would be there is a tarantula. I wouldn't want to be hairy, but there is a tarantula that has like I think it's called like a parrot tarantula. It's got like vibrant blue and green. So like maybe black, gray, and then some like iridescent blue green would be my vibe. And so then when I transformed into my humanoid form, I would just look like a cool goth TikTok girl.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that my humanoid form would be with the mourning dove wings, but otherwise like fully human. And then my monster form would be,
So you'd look kind of like an angel.
yeah,
Yeah.
but with like the mottled brown and black and gray wings. And then my,
I think you should keep talents though.
yeah, I would like that. And then my more monstrous form, I just kind of think that I would look like Bird Person from Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably have a beak, maybe like
Definitely.
the big round dark eyes, but
Yeah.
basically human, but with wings and talons.
I feel like you need to have like you could be like a dove, but have some hawk-like qualities so that you wouldn't be like prey. You'd be more predatory.
I like that.
Yeah. And maybe I have like some agility, like some climbing or like parkour-ish type skills in my
Yes.
humanoid form.
You're randomly found just like upside down on the ceiling.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all I've got. I would love to hear from our listeners if you have a thought for what your fae, bird, insect, other form would be.
Yeah, also, if you're reading, join our book club on
Yes,
Fable.
we are on Fable, and for this book specifically, we already have commentary on chapters. You can avoid spoilers if you've listened this far into the episode. You have been spoiled, however, you can still go back and read it because it's a very fun book, and you can read our commentary throughout and add your own.
It's not like super intelligent commentary
But
from
it's commentary. It's good. It's like we're annotating the book in real time. And you actually, if you buy the book through Fable, you can annotate the digital version, see what other people marked.
Like as you go.
This is not sponsored, and I haven't bought a book through there yet, but I do think that's a really cool feature.
That is cool. Are we going to do more books for a book club in the future?
Yes. So we have arcs of Just Another Epic Love Poem by Parisa Akbari, and that comes out in March. So we're probably going to read and recap that for April so that people have time to actually read the book. So between now and then, are we going to recap another book? Should we put some options to a poll? Okay.
Or we could put options to a poll or ask for people to make suggestions for what they would like us to read.
Okay, so we'll plan on opening it up to a poll, and then the book after that is pre-decided that we're going to do Just Another Epic Love Poem, because the a publicist with the author reached out to us and it sounded really, really cool.
Yeah,
So
I'm excited for that one.
yes. So that's all. Follow us in all the places. We will have them in our links. My book is still for sale, and the second book in the series is up for pre-order.
Pre-order.
It's called In on the Action. It is a sapphic holiday romance, and there's baking and punching people, and
Is there some like, let me get behind you and assist you with this training move.
yes, there's some of that. There's sex in a yoga swing.
Yeah. Hell yeah. It's an age gap,
It's an age
correct?
gap. Yes, it's an age gap romance. It's someone who's about to turn 40. If you read the first book, Ivy is the first heroine. She is one of Camila's friends. She owns a gym. She used to be a Hollywood stunt woman. She's about to turn 40, and her crush is this bakery owner who we also met in the first book, and she's 25. So while it's not a Sarah Paulson, Holland Taylor age gap, it's the kind of thing that when she meets Anna's parents, she might think like, I'm closer in age to them than to her, and that's weird.
Thanks, I hate
Yeah.
it. I
So
can't wait.
I cannot wait to share it with you. It is currently in revisions. It's coming out in October, and you can pre-order it on Amazon. It will be available widely soon after that, but right now, just for the pre-order, it's the ebook pre-order on Amazon, just like with the first one. So until next time, air kisses.